Wikipedia.org is a massive site with over 5,275,000 articles in English alone.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Many people can tell you the accuracy of this knowledge, but Ben Graw...
This is the Ben voice.
And Garth Remington...
This is the Garth voice.
...are not even smart enough to determine what is true and what is not.
Yeah, they're kind of dumb.
If knowledge starts conversation, then they will review Wikipedia pages for their entertainment value and find which pages are boring...
That's boring. Leave me alone. Such a loser.
...and which are interesting.
That's so interesting.
Wanna have sex?
They're doing one page at a time, and they're not stopping till they've done every single one.
They're going to do all of them?
This is the Wiki Review.
Assuming all stereotypes are real. Why is your answer killing people to everything I say? I've got some odd beliefs that apparently no one else shares.
Start.
You always feel like I should start.
I'm happy to do it, but I always feel like no, that's your thing.
That's my thing.
That's your thing. Introducing stuff.
You introduce so well.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I just, you know, don't want to take it away.
It's not really you do it well. It's just I can't be bothered.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll do it like a big announcer thing because we're doing like the Carnegie episode.
Oh, so I can do it like a Carnegie. Do you want me to do some like carnival like do-do-do-do in the background, or that just completely mess up the audio? Maybe you could add that in later. How about you just do it and I'll see if I can add on to it.
Yeah. See if you feel that.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Wiki Review. Roll up, and let's see what we have to do today. We're actually doing the page for Carnies today. This is Wiki Review. I'm Ben Graw.
I'm Gareth Remington.
Here we are with another week, another page.
Roll up, step right up, folks, and get a hold of the most amazing ride you'll ever take in your life. It's a Wikipedia review sensation. 2 bits, that's all it takes, is 2 bits to step right up. Get on the trolley, rattle out the trams. Come on, you pigeons, let's do this thing.
I don't think you're meant to call them pigeons to their face. I think that's really a behind the back thing.
I think so, but the point is they don't know that what a pigeon is. Well, we probably do now, but you know what? I'm not a carny, and that's probably why.
If someone called you a pigeon and you had no idea what you meant, would you assume compliment?
No, generally, yeah, pigeon, like, there are some birds that's complimentary. If you're an eagle or a hawk, you can assume that's pretty good. In fact, you will nickname yourself that if you're a fighter pilot, but if you're a pigeon, that's, yeah, well, you're common. You do very well in an urban environment. You shit all over monuments. But yeah, no, that's a good point. Although, like, yeah, older people will refer to women as birds, but I don't think any woman who's referred to as a bird, if you specify they're a pigeon.
But bird sounds cute, because when you think of bird, you think of a cute little bird. But when you think of a pigeon, that's a flying rat.
It is, with an oil slick on its chest. That's what you sound like. Alright, so what we've already established is we're going to be talking about carnies, and that was a bit of carny lingo for those not in the know. Carnies, good industrious people, nomadic by nature.
I'm not 100% sure that this isn't, I don't want to say racist, but like derogatory name for something.
Do carnies refer to themselves as carnies or traveling show people? Or I think it's one of those two-way things. To them, they're like, I'm a carny. But to us, it's like, you're a carny.
Do you think it's one of those things they can call themselves? That, but you can't call them that.
Well, I don't think there's been enough oppression on carnies for that to really validate. I think it's more that when you're in the carnival, you are in their land, and these people are dangerous, generally. Like, not so much that they're more capable of killing people, it's just that there's no trace of their existence, really. If they wanted to kill you or harm you in some way, they're gone, and you will never see them again. You don't even know their real name. They don't even have a real name. They're called, like, Spike or Slickback or Toothpick or something. And, you know, they're just gone.
See, I fear fighting a carny and reckon that they would beat me because in a fight, I'm scared of losing teeth.
They've got nothing to hold back. And I'm scared of a tetanus infection. I don't think it matters where you touch a carny. They're probably really lovely people. There's probably a lot of clean ones. Well, there's probably some that are clean. But I just feel like any point of contact, you're going to need a tetanus shot afterwards. Like, I'm pretty sure they're all infected with rabies.
Assuming all stereotypes are real.
I just want to point out, they're not a race of people. This isn't racist.
I'd love to think of, like, some carny sitting back listening to this going, those motherfuckers.
When I'm next in their town, if they try to get on the bumper cars, I'm going to cut them off in line. They get theirs. Don't you worry.
Though I remember I was doing a show at the Newmarket Hotel and some of the people who worked at the Ecker had come in and they're talking about the term carny and they're going, nah, mate, it's not carny in Australia, it's showy.
Typical Aussie thing. Yeah, because we don't have carnivals. We have shows. So it's a showy, not a carny. You put an E at the end of anything, it makes it a name.
That is a good rule of just like, when in doubt, just add an E.
You're a comedie. Right now we're doing a reviewee on the podcasty. But yeah, I like that. Showies. Of all the people in Australia, you'd imagine they'd be the least showy. But they're at the show, so it counts. It's poetic.
So they do actually mention it in the intro here. The term showy is used synonymously in Australia. Citation needed. I actually had a showy verify it to me, so...
You should verify. You should be the citation.
Yeah, some drunk guy at Newmarket whose name I can't remember. Yeah, imagine that for a source. I heard it in a pub.
Well, I heard from a guy who was pretty adamant he worked in a carnival. This is the international Wikipedia, isn't it? Mm. I don't actually know if... This shows how little I know about the internet. This isn't the Australian internet, is it? This is the world internet.
Yes, it is the World Wide Web.
Oh, that's where that name comes from. We're talking about carnies, and Australia makes it in the opening line to say that, no, we're showy. Maybe it was that guy who was talking to you. Someone showed him Wikipedia, first thing he checked out. Like, you got to check out carnies, that's what you are. Doesn't say anything about showies here. I'm going
to
tell him.
I like to think that it's just that one guy, though. He made it up and he's trying to get it to catch on and it just won't. And all the others just go like, nah, dude, we're not showies.
We're fine with carny, all right? No, this is my thing. I'm starting a new thing, guys.
It's showy. It's showy.
Showy. What I find interesting is carny, that's your American thing. It says they're North America. Australia is showy. Doesn't say anything about anywhere else in the world. I'm pretty sure there are carnivals, festivals, and shows elsewhere in the world. Like, do you reckon there's showies in New Zealand? Or shooey?
Possibly. Shooey.
Shooey. Oh, my shooey brew.
Yeah, you figure they gotta have derogatory ways to refer to people who work in carnivals everywhere.
Everywhere. I suppose in Europe they just be called gypsies. That's essentially what gypsies are, right?
That's true. Carnival people usually are like gypsies or gippos. Which is, over here it'd be gippy, but over in those Europeans they put an O at the end and it's a gippo.
The old country and their weird ways, that's a completely different vowel. So carnies, as we know, that they travel with the carnival. They are kind of the last of the nomadic people. I mean, the Native American no longer gets to be nomadic. I mean, they can't follow the buffalo. White people kind of wreck that for them. But so, no one will ever kill the bumper car, so they're pretty safe.
It says that employees run a game or a joint.
This
if I was at
joint.
A carnival and someone said like, hey, do you want a joint? I'm like, oh, yes. And then you go into like this booth and then they just hand you like
balls to throw at cups or something.
You're just like, what?
I need a joint for this. This is what I do after I had the joint, please. See, you're a pigeon. They caught you already. I thought I was buying weed.
Do I win weed?
Is that the prize? Probably get an eraser at first. That's the mega prize. You have to win 5 times to get that.
Imagine then the cops come up and see that like one of the prizes is weed and they get them for dealing weed and like, no, there's no way you can actually win that prize.
No, it's a scam, dude.
Look, it's just crepe paper.
Well, actually, the fine for scamming people is worse than the fine for selling weed, so take your choice. All right, my name's Spike. It's on my license.
First name Sp, last name Ike.
I've always wondered when they put down place of residence, you can't really have a postcode if you're nomadic. What do they do? Because it's not even the Ecker, because they follow festivals and shows all around the country.
You couldn't even have like a PO box.
Do carnivals have postcodes? That would make more sense.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of deal where they can find the carnival and the carnival distributes the mail.
Although at the same point, why do carnies need mail? What are they going to pay an electricity bill?
That's true. If I couldn't receive any letters anymore, I don't think I would would care. They would just email them.
Yeah, exactly. We can assume carnies have email. I'm sure we'll get a few emails from them for this.
We'll find out exactly how many have emails.
So really, we're doing a good thing. We don't mean to insult them, but we're going to, because we're doing a head count. The census will thank us. Yeah, you make a good point, though, about the mail. Do you really get anything good in the mail anymore? Even if you get an invite to a party or a wedding or something, they still call you to make sure you got the letter.
Yeah, you do get that call going, like, did you get the letter?
Huh? I better check my mail.
And then when you get the letter, you call them and you say, like, yeah, I got the letter, I'm coming. You're like, okay, cool. Can you mail me back the RSVP? Well, can't you just tick me off now?
I'll just email it to you. No! Send it back on that crepe paper I gave it to you.
All right, but I'm not putting in confetti in my letter. We have the etymology. It's always a good section on any page. I started in 1931,
which is a very specific year for it to start.
Because
it
like doesn't. Like in 1930, they were just like, what do we call these people?
Oh, showies? What's this Australian doing here?
They said 1930. I would have said, it's probably like 1930s around that. Anywhere between like 28 and 32 is sort of fine.
That's the 30.
But 1931 is very specific.
And they don't attribute it to anything.
No, they just say North America, which is a country.
The word carnival originally meaning time of merrymaking before Lent. So I didn't know it was Catholic related. Now I know what a carnival is. But that doesn't make a lot of sense when it comes to a lot of Spanish holidays and like carnival.
So is a carnival basically like a lame Christian purge?
It is a purge, yes. That's exactly right.
It's like instead of kill people, they just do lame stuff.
And eat fairy floss. We got Lent coming up. Let's get it all out of our systems, guys. Ooh, bobbing for apples. Yeah, I want a goldfish.
Yeah, the lame purge going, like, oh, I'm going to say the Lord's name in vain so many times.
If you want to do that, you're going to need to ride the bumper cars. Jesus!
You need to keep your wife locked down because you don't want a bunch of people coveting her. All the men come out coveting.
It's all time to covet people.
They don't actually do anything or touch her. They're just all looking at her having sexual thoughts that they spent all year repressing.
Yeah, just keep her locked up next to your ox. Don't want anyone coveting. Whenever you say covet, you know, it has Christian connotations and that's about it. It's like girt. You know, Australia, we are girt by sea. And everyone goes, what the hell is a girt? Well, it's an anthem word. What's covet? Well, that's a Christian word. I think it would be better to bring these words back into actual circulation. You know, take the connotations out of covet. What does covet mean? Because instantly you go straight to, well, it means you did something that God doesn't like Christian God.
I thought covet was to just want something. Like if I see something you've got and I'm like, well, I want that, then I'm coveting that.
So wanting is coveting.
Yeah, so you can't look at other people and be like, you know, that's awesome, I wish I had that. Okay. Because then you're coveting it.
Okay, I'm gonna bring that back into circulation.
Because it's assumed that if I got like this really awesome kick-ass car and you're driving around in a shitbox, you might begin to hate me a bit because I have such a kick-ass car while your car keeps breaking down and causes all these problems for you.
I'll be like, man, I don't want to covet you, but you don't have to apologize because you're supposed to ask for forgiveness. Hey, dude, just want to say, like, the other day you brought your Monaro around. It was all polished up and, well, I coveted it. And given today, like, if you don't know what the word covet really means, what did you do to my car? Do I need to clean it?
If I spent that much money on a car, I want you to kind of hate me for it a little. That's what I paid for.
That's pretty much the only reason I spent all that. I'm poor. Like, you may have a shitbox, but you're eating, like, real food. I'm eating, like, crackers and salami every night. I'm on bologna, which is an American thing, but I'm sure we have it. I'm eating Spam. There we go. That's more relevant. I'm eating Spam every night. I'm driving around my car. You could at least covet me a little. Covet me some slack.
So 1931.
Well, maybe before that, like, instead of carny, they were just called those seedy pricks that sell you tickets to crappy rides. And they went, you know what? This is getting a bit too long.
Carnival was invented in 1549.
Which is a very recent, considering, like, the age of words. Before 1549, what did they have instead of carnivals? Were they festivals? Were they... What's the actual concept of a carnival invented in 1549? Or, like, someone went, you know what? Let's, for a day or two, fence off an area, put up a tent, charge people outrageous amounts of money for food that's probably going to make them sick, and put them on some lame-ass rides, which, in let's face it, 1549, that dodgem car, going to be pretty lame.
It is.
Oh, I've said it a couple of times already. In America, they're bumper cars. In Australia, they're dodgems, which is hilarious, because when you're in a dodgem car, you're not trying to dodge. There is no dodging, but we dodge them. Dodge them.
Should be called smash-em cars.
I don't think Australians got the point of the bumper car.
No.
Yeah, 1549. That was before Napoleon.
What happened? Yeah, so maybe they didn't really have many carnivals back then.
But even a medieval festival.
Well, that's why it's a festival and not a medieval carnival.
That's true, because they're not Catholic as well. Fair, yeah, or a box social.
But a specific carnival took place in 1549.
Okay.
Because I think a carnival, doesn't a carnival have to have rides of some sort?
You'd think that, but I'm guessing in 1549 they didn't have rides. Or maybe there were pony rides, but it was like, yeah, that's how I got here, dude.
Maybe that's when they first invented rides.
Maybe the log ride? What would be the first ride?
Probably a merry-go-round, but it was probably like real horses just tied to string and a stick.
Just this impaled horse that's shrieking for its life. Put your kid on that. Daddy! He's having so much fun! Take a photo. Well, you know, sit real still, kids. They're going to paint you. Do you reckon they had the, what do they call them? The drawers that make you look like you have a big head?
Oh, the caricatures?
Yeah, they probably would have had caricatures. But then they would have been really good when everyone had to get a painting.
What do you think is the best job to get at a carnival?
Oh, that's a good question. Because if you work in the rides, like you get to freak. If you look really freaky, like you've got tattoos on your knuckles, teeth missing, a slick back ponytail with kind of balding at the front, you want to be at the rides. Because it's like, yeah, I made this ride. I put it together this morning. Jump on in, kids. You're perfectly safe.
I wouldn't want to be one of those guys, because every time you see one of those guys, they're missing a something.
Usually more than one something.
Exactly.
They're missing several somethings.
Could be an eye, could be a tooth, could be a finger.
That's right.
Could be an entire hand. You never know.
A nostril. But what would I be? Because ticket guy would be pretty good. Because once everyone's in, you're kind of done for the day and you get to enjoy the fair. I think maybe it'd be better to be like a freak or something.
Ticket guy is the only guy who has to talk to every person who goes to the carnival though.
Step right up, folks. Witness the magnificent miracle that is the carnival.
See, I think you could be a spruker.
A what?
One of those people who sit up and go, yeah, roll up, roll up.
Oh, yeah, with the megaphone.
Yeah.
That's just a cone. That'd be fun. I could do that all day.
Just sit there and yell shit.
I love that's the voice. Step right up, folks. Apparently everyone in the 30s sounded like that.
And it just never changed. It's like, well, yeah, if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
It's like newsreaders. They all sound the same because someone sounded like that once. And, oh, yeah, this is how you do it. You know, no one's ever going to get on the news tonight and be like, yeah, g'day, folks, today in the news. There's some bad stuff. Yeah, you know, it's, welcome to the news. I am Garth Remington. And it's the same for carnies, you know. Step right up, folks.
Well, you want to sound vaguely British. The British accent is the most intelligent sounding accent. Except if you go to sort of that Cockney.
I wouldn't say it's a line which you cross. I say there's like a gap. You go from, hello, folks, welcome to the show, to, hey, governor, come in, witness the show, eh?
That's a fit bird, isn't it?
She's a well-fit pigeon, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I trust this ride. With the British accent, the upper class, it does make it... Wow, this is a sophisticated... Look, he's got a straw hat. Red and white stripes. You can trust this guy. And then you get in and it's just a bunch of ex-cons trying to tell you to throw balls at things.
You think the guy who stands out front has to be the most presentable person there?
I think he's the only presentable person. They have one suit and he gets to wear it. That's pretty much how it works. And that's why they fence it off. And that's why you can't really see in. Because once you get inside, it's...
See, I think I'd like to be running one of those crooked games.
That would be fun. Knowing that it's just a scam. If you're stupid enough to play the game, that would justify it for me. Anyone who's willing to give me money deserves for me to take their money without winning anything.
Seeing people walking past going, hey, handsome, you want to win a prize for your lovely lady over there? Quite a beauty, she could use a teddy bear.
Looks like you got a hot date. Gonna show how intelligent, strong, and amazing you are?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Come on, everyone wins a prize. Step right up. Oh, missed. Almost got it that time.
Just complimenting people and then taking all of their money while you do it.
But that would be the fun part. Yeah, it's not right to lie to people. It's not right to scam people. But everyone knows the carnival is a scam. If you're walking through a carnival and someone says, hey, big fella, you're looking strong today. Care to test your strength? You know it's a scam. You just want to be a part of the scam. I don't mind being a rube. I got to use the word rube today. That's when I tell people later, I got scammed. I was the rube. That's a story for them. That's pretty all right for $5.
I get suspicious of anyone who's selling something and instantly likes me that much straight away.
Someone who's like, if they actually thought I could win, would they really be that complimentary?
Hey, I don't look that smart and handsome.
Well, when someone compliments me straight away, I know something's wrong. Either you have really poor judgment or you're trying to take advantage of me. Someone's going to be taken advantage of in this situation. Ask any girl I've ever dated.
Like, what if it's a pretty girl and she's attracted to you? Nah, it's a scam.
Nah, I couldn't believe that. If I met my dream woman, I wouldn't believe her. Oh my God, you want to go out? You're going to steal my wallet? What is this? You're going to take my kidneys, aren't you?
Is that a timeshare thing? You're pregnant and you need a daddy.
Before the bump shows. Do you need money? Because I'm pretty sure it's obvious I don't have any.
The carny language.
Oh no, this is fun because we've already tried doing some carny language and, well, it hasn't gone so well. We don't know that much. They've kept it a pretty good secret. I only know what's been on TV.
They do have a link to Parlay.
Now, Parlay, that's what pirates do on Pirates of the Caribbean. That means that they don't kill each other.
But apparently it also means carny talk.
Does that mean carnies were like pirates? You know, that makes a lot of sense. Kind of the same, you're missing an eye.
Maybe it means I want to talk.
Apparently.
Sort of like a talk with like parlay, where it means that you get to talk to...
Oh yeah, I want to have a chat. Come on, no scams, which is totally pirate of them. Like, there's no scam.
There's totally a scam.
So they got that in common. I love that there's the carny lingo, the carny language actually has a name that's not carny talk.
Well, maybe they invented it, because don't they say that it was picked up by pirates and hip-hop people? Where does it say down there?
Where does it say the language, yeah.
In addition to carny jargon, some carnival workers special infix.
Use a special infix. Is to render language unintelligible. So basically, if you're in England, pikey, because they're the gypsies of England, they roam around in trailers and you can't understand a word they're saying, and they like it that way.
This style eventually migrated into wrestling, hip-hop, and other parts of modern culture.
I'd just like to go out on a limb here and say that hip-hop probably didn't take it from carnivals, because you don't see a lot of black people working carnivals, do you? This isn't a racist thing. This is if you actually think about it, traveling from town to town, if you're a black person, you know, that's especially in the 1930s, you find a place that's safe and you stay there as best you can.
Yeah, but when you like hook up with a girl, you know, you get your ring toss on. You win her pink teddy bear.
I tossed a ring. Get out here, boy. But yeah, so I think the is. It's just kind of slang that they've all wrapped together with. Is it pronounced parlay or is it parlery? Parlery, like, it, you know, like parlor talk.
Yeah, maybe we're mispronouncing this completely.
I bet there's some offended people out there. That's my language. Say it right.
We've said both now. So we've got it right at least half the time.
You keep speaking your Anglish.
Yeah, if they put in the infix izzle, then they would have covered Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's a carny. You know, he does kind of have that appearance. The kind of rat-like.
He could be a carny.
Yeah, maybe he's a proud child of carnies. Like, that does make a lot of sense. Like, to him, he had to learn how to say, like, I'm in the house. Because when he grew up, it was just, I'm in the his house. I'm in the hizzle. For shizzle.
It's pretty hard to figure out what he's saying most of the time.
It is, which kind of defeats the purpose of language, but makes it really easy to rhyme things.
I did look at the link for parlay. Well, I've got it up on my phone here because they've got a bunch of the words and what they mean. So I'll run a couple through and see how you go. What about a bye-bye?
Is that saying goodbye?
No.
Is it stealing from someone?
No, it's a bisexual.
This is something I did read about. This language is also gay slang from back when gay people had to be very hush-hush about it, which I think it's hilarious that they've combined carnies, wrestlers, hip-hop, rappers, and gay people. Apparently they all speak the same language. Now, that's offensive.
Because they also have a blue that's a homosexual.
A blue is a... Whereas in Australia, a blue is a fight. Having a bit of a blue... What? Call them a blue because they blow.
Yeah, it's kind of bugger all over again. Yeah. In England, it means something different. How about Aunt Nels?
Aunt Nels. Is that your testicles?
It's your ears.
Oh, well, I was way off. No, I'm going against that. I'm going to, from now on, right in the Aunt Nels. Doesn't that sound like nuts?
Here's another one. A fruit.
Is that a gay person?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, everyone knows that. That made it out of the carnival.
How about jubes?
Oh, boobs.
Done. You got one.
That's true for pretty much everything. Jubes. I think that if you take the English accent or that 1930s accent, oh, look at that girl's jubs. It sounds like jubs. Jubs.
They have Mises.
Mises.
Which, if you know Rick and Morty, it Mises. Looks the same.
Oh, Mr. Mises. Yeah.
Which they actually have that in here.
And it's not mice?
No.
What is it?
It means plain or ugly.
A Mises is a plain person.
It's something that's plain or ugly.
All right. A repugnant girl. Mises. I had my fair share of the Mises girls.
What about your ogles?
Ogles. Is that your eyes?
It is.
Ogles, because you're ogle with your ogles.
And your pots?
Your pots, your pockets?
No.
Is it your butt?
No, it's your teeth.
Oh, your pots are your teeth. Well, I suppose to a carny, pots and teeth, they don't have either, so.
And keeping on that anatomy, stimps.
Stimps, is that your legs?
That is.
Yeah, your stimps, because like your sticks.
I love how you're just sort of figuring out the...
It's, well, there's no real logic to it. It's just, what does it sound like?
Zahushi.
Is that your brain?
No, that's a showy.
A showy is a what?
It's a showy.
So carnival people have a slang term for Australian carnivalists.
They have a slang term for a slang term. A mutation of another slang term.
It's like the inception of carnival talk. It's a dream within a dream.
What if something is Bonnaroo?
Bonnaroo, is that good?
It is.
Yeah! That just plays well with the Australian. Oh, it was Bonnaroo, sheepy apples, bonza! This means nothing to anyone else in the world.
What if I said you had a nice pair of cats?
Hands?
No.
It's not boobs again, is it?
No.
Oh, shoes?
No.
Then I don't know.
Trousers.
Trousers. Nice pair of cats.
Which I always thought it was weird with pants and trousers. You have a pair of pants or a pair of trousers, but it's only one.
But then, like, yeah, they don't say your pant, they say your pant leg.
Yeah.
Because you don't say your pants legs, it's your pant leg. Because, well, if you've ever gotten that close to a girl's legs, you will be panting.
So if you, like, lose a leg, can you wear a pant then?
Then only half your junk's covered. You can wear shorts, but one pant. Look, probably costs more, unless you have, like, one cutaway.
There's heaps on here. Do you want to go through, see if you test me on some? I've had a look at a few of them, but I still don't know if that's going to help me too much.
Okay, a basket.
No, it's not going to help me too much. Is that someone who's crazy?
No, though I know why you'd say that. Basket is male genitalia. Right in the basket! Oh, here's one we've got to know. A Barney.
Oh, that's like a fight or an argument.
Yes, that's Cockney, man. Blag.
It sounds like you're trying to steal somebody's bag and they've hit you in the testicles.
Blag!
Which is it just bad or...
It means pickup, which I was way off when I thought, because blag, I thought that meant robbed. Like, you know, you're going to rob someone, but pickup is what they say.
Maybe it's sort of to grab something.
Oh, cleavy.
A cleavy. Is that boobs?
Lower.
Is it a pussy?
Yes, vagina specifically. Cleavy. Okay, you've heard the term axe wound. I think that's just a disgusting way to describe a vagina. Cleavy, because it's where you got cleaved.
Is there any term that's good for referring to a woman's vagina? Because vagina's too clinical. A lot of people don't like pussy. Cunt's out of the question.
We don't say that.
And voo-voo just sounds childish and stupid.
Yeah, vajayjay.
Yeah, any sort of like those little sound effects. Like it sounds like you'd read in a children's book. Yep. I don't like.
It's my twinkle. What?
It's not your flower.
Every word for the male genitalia is kind of just derogatory, like, oh, that's gross. Every word for a woman's genitalia, it's kind of offensive. There's no, like, you know, your poodle. Her flower, which that confuses a lot of people.
See, I usually just go pussy. I know it's not that great, but it's the best out of all of them.
It's the best I can do. And it is easier to say than vagina for some weird reason. Some people are more happy to hear the P word than the V word.
It kind of sounds cute.
Yeah, I like cats. Eck.
An eck. How do you spell it?
E-E-K. Eck.
Is that another gay person?
No. It's a body part.
Your head?
Close.
Nose. Eyes.
Put it all together and what do you got?
Face.
Yes. Ooh, here's a nice one. Ends.
I know that one. That's your hair.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Your ends. That's why people say you have split ends. People who do the Pantene commercials, they must be carnies.
That's to that to your girlfriend when you get home and go like, ah, you have nice ends.
What? Oh, I got your ends cut, eh?
When they get back to the hairdresser, just hit them with a bit of carny slang.
That's how you get the girls, by the way. Carny slang. Carnies would get laid, right? I mean, not just amongst other carnies. Like, it's hard to imagine a girl going to the carnival like, oh, I'm gonna pick one of these boys up while they're in town. But I'm sure it happens. A hoofer.
A hoofer. That, to me, that's either somebody who's ugly, a cop, or just somebody who's strong.
It's a dancer.
All three of my guesses were wrong.
Way off. But yours make more sense. Although, hoofer, because, you know, you move around on your feet.
They all make sense. I'm surprised I didn't figure that one out, actually.
This is fun. It's like, you know, we could be doing this exact same game in Korean. What's a miso? Is it soup? Yeah! Yeah, you did it.
How'd you know? All of them have been soup.
Everything means soup. Haven't you ever seen a Korean barbecue?
Apparently they're all looking for food.
Willets?
Is it a body part?
Yes.
Is it feet?
No.
Hands?
No.
Fingers?
No. It's female.
Boobs?
Yes. Or breasts specifically, it says here.
Well, that's because I don't think in any definition it will say boobs.
It's not gonna...
I think they're just picking the most clinical term.
Your stimp covers. We covered what stimps are.
Yeah, so that would be pants or trousers or something.
Feminine? Feminine?
A dress. New. Stockings?
Yes. Or hosiery. Stimp covers. Stockings. Because I'm guessing just from this that stimps are more female legs. Because because very rarely do women comment on male legs. Well, that we know of. Maybe that's what women like. I don't know.
See, I want to learn a bunch of this carny language so I can compliment my wife with it and she's going to have no idea what I'm talking about.
Because that's when you compliment your woman, you do want her to have no idea what you're saying. I see the logic.
I could have like a little rant and stuff like that. Oh, like you in those stimp covers.
I do confess that I've always wanted to do like 1930s chimney sweep compliment my girlfriend. Hey, love, you's the top looking bird, eh? Brussels, you sweep, yeah? One more, and this is the one I think that we need to be the most aware of when walking around the carnival. Shush.
Someone who you can rip off?
It means steal.
Ah.
To steal from someone.
Shush.
So if you hear the carnies talking about shush on you, they're going to steal from you. That's important to know.
Yeah, I did realize.
What's that?
Anything that I wanted to do that I didn't want to tell my wife about, this is probably the exact wrong time to talk about it.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't put it out there on recording.
And I know she listens, so...
That's a problem. Well, no, this is the test, man. Like, let's find out exactly how well... This is your chance. Like, start talking like that. And if she doesn't know what you're saying, you get to be mad at her.
We're going to test if you're listening.
Do you hear that? And I'd like pie this afternoon. If you don't get pie and get to call it a Gibbs apple or whatever, then you get to be mad. So it's win-win. You can't lose now.
Cool. So I'll let you all know next week if I got a pie.
Or a black eye.
Don't give her that option.
I'm on your side, girl. All right, so that's interesting, though. Like, parlory. Parlory, actually, that does sound like it is, like, you know, like parlor talk. Like, maybe it's prostitute, back alley. I'm thinking speakeasy times, because that was about that time. Like, that sort of, you know, how to disguise. The idea is to talk and not have people understand you. You know, like, your own secret language.
They want
to
be able to talk about how they're screwing over the pigeons without the pigeons hearing.
Meanwhile, do you reckon Carney still say pigeon now? It's like that word's played out to them.
I think it would have to be an adaptive language where every time people learned about it, they would have to change it.
Like how hip-hop has had to keep updating it to remain above the curve.
Yeah, well, didn't hip-hop start with that's how drug dealers used to speak to each other so people wouldn't be able to understand?
Yep, there's all the drug talk and all the different lingo. Then they caught on to that. But it's not just they're staying above the curve, but also things change over time. Like, you know, they would have said pigeons maybe in the 30s.
Mm.
I bet, like, it's okay for them to know that now. We went from pigeons to pidges to pigs to piggery to reavers to reparos to chip-chipperoos to let's go rip that guy off for a very short period of time. So yeah, let them know about pigeons. That's cool.
See, I reckon if I were to invent a talk where I was trying to mislead people, if I wanted to call somebody like a pigeon or a rube or, you know, something, you know, like an idiot or something like that you could easily take advantage of, I would choose the word genius.
Yeah, it should be.
Here comes another genius.
Hey, here comes a genius. Guys, look at this handsome fella. Like, just everything. That's how you do it. Just everything means the opposite.
Exactly. You make it complimentary.
Step right up, you beautiful genius. This is the easiest game in the world. How awesome would that be? For you at home, if you're going to try being a carny, that's all you got to do. Just say the opposite of what you mean. People won't cotton on.
Except how do you change it, like, if people cotton on to it? You can't go... If you go the opposite to the opposite and go... Hey, as soon as people go, like, if he calls me a genius, then that means that he thinks that I'm an idiot. So when he walks in, hey, idiot, come on.
Why, yes!
You're totally going to lose at this game and I'm going to take all your money.
Sometimes you will see that's what they do. They will taunt you. Oh, you couldn't compete in this game. Nah, you're not tough enough. Come on, mate. And you go, I can do it. I think that a lot of carnies are psychology majors. I don't know if they went to university, but they know some psychology. Carnival University.
Well, now you have the bulk of the page, which is usage in popular culture.
Which is pretty accurate, because we don't know, like, carnies are very, like, because they move around a lot, because they're a very in crowd, they don't share with the community. It's kind of hard to know anything about them.
I think when you have a group that has a bit of mystery, most people fill in that mystery with homicidal rape.
That tends to...
Like, you assume, what are they doing in this thing? And go, well, that's when they're homicidal.
What's the blank between them calling us rubes and packing up shop? What happens then? Oh, then they kill people. Let your mind... Use your imagination. What would you do? I'd kill people. All right, well, then that's probably what they do. They're people too. Why is your answer killing people to everything I say?
Yeah, I like that logic where people are just like, well, you know, they move from town to town. They could perfectly get away with it. I mean, if I could get away with it perfectly, I would kill a bunch of people. It's like, well, that probably tells us more about you than them.
Exactly. They're probably the nicest people. And it's just that people who have seen popular culture, they're like, oh, carnies, they kill you. That's why they're missing eyes and fingers and stuff. These people are trying to attack them. Like, what did I ever do to you? I just want to entertain. I call you, like, you know, good looking and intelligent. I give you entertaining rides. I don't stay too long. I don't wear out my welcome. I just want to be accepted somewhere. That's why I'm moving around. And everywhere I go, people are trying to kill me in defense. So what do we got here?
We've got Carney's a movie.
2007. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I saw a trailer for it. It looks like a very independent movie.
Which is a nice way of saying it's very low budget, very shoddy, and that's the reason no one's heard of it.
Yeah, it's some sort of horror movie where...
You know, you didn't have to tell me it was a horror movie. I already figured that out. When a movie's named Carney's, which, that's once again, that's mean to Carney's. But when you hear it, oh, you want to go see Carney's? I don't like scary movies. It's about rides!
I think it's the carnies getting killed in the movie, though.
Okay, that's fair. Are we going to check this out?
Show little bits, because I remember seeing And No One Is Safe.
Okay, so it's dated in the Depression era. Oh, yeah, this doesn't look like a real movie. You sure it's a real movie?
Yeah, this is a real movie. I had to look it up on IMDb just to be sure, because I found this trailer on YouTube. I'm like, this has got to be fake.
It looks like a sketch comedy of a movie that they never actually made. Was that a midget hanging himself?
A midget hanging himself.
You know, now I'm interested.
That one scene alone.
It does look Australian. Like, it looks like a bunch of Australians trying to make a fake movie.
It does look vaguely Australian.
Which is funny. You can always tell Australians and things.
I don't know if it's Australian.
And it says starring, I'm going to give him a shout out, Doug Jones, Riggy Bannister, Lee Perkins. Reggie Bannister, sorry. And Lee Perkins and Denise Gossett, which I don't know a lot of famous people, but I don't think they're famous. So this is probably the only place you're going to hear them.
Does it say anywhere that it was... Doesn't say if it's an Australian film.
Does it say where it's from anywhere?
No. It possibly could be. It might not be.
Horror thriller. 2010, it says there.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's the year seems very inconsistent that it came out.
Like, maybe these people are trying to piggyback on the success of the 2007 Carney movie. Like, wow, they got like 12 viewers.
I like that you had the same thought as me, where you're like, this is kind of lame, and then you see a midget hanging himself, and you're like, all right, let's give it a chance.
Hold on, guys. Don't just give up on things. I need to know the backstory. Why did he have such a tall little stool to hang himself? He could have done that on a much shorter thing.
That's the thing. That piece of rope that killed him, it wouldn't have killed me.
It would have had to be a lot higher up.
I'd have jumped down and just still had like a bunch of slack going, aww.
I'm gonna hang myself again.
It's the thing, if you're a midget and you want to hang yourself, you need more rope.
That's true. But you can hang yourself on much lower, over, back, what do you call it? Yeah, much lower beams.
That is true, but then you've got to get the rope up there.
Like, the rest of that movie, I couldn't care less about it. It just looks like a bunch of satirical actors pretending to be scared. And then you see a midget hang themselves, like, well, they went to the effort of getting a little person. I mean, that's gotta tell you something. What's next? Nightmare Alley?
Nightmare Alley. Now, this one is a movie from like 1947.
Okay.
And it is basically like medicine.
It's like what?
It's like medicine. It's just, it's not fun to watch at all.
It's in black and white.
It's very lame.
It kind of looks like every other movie. Well, first off, he's wearing a suit. There's the dramatic movie.
Because I think he's a carnival con man.
He's the slick guy. He wears a suit and has all his teeth. In fact, everyone in this seems to have all their teeth.
Yeah, these are very good looking carnival people.
Typical Hollywood, glamorizing everything.
I like that pose. That's just a very thing where one's looking at the camera with their back turned to the other one like that. So you can see both their faces.
That was a popular pose back in the day, wasn't it? Where the woman turns away and the guy just talks to her, assuming she's listening, and she gets very dramatically into it. Because back in those days, you could just talk to women and they just listened. Guys just were that arrogant that they could go, yeah, 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 she's listening to me. She's not looking at me. I think she's playing a video game right now. She's texting, but she's listening. I'll just take my heroic stance.
Yeah, a lot of texting going on in the 1947.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then moving down, we're moving forward in time again a bit to 1988, where you have Two Moon Junction.
Which, once again, I've heard of none of these.
And they're only vaguely sort of about carnies. This one,
they're reaching,
I'm pretty
they?
Sure almost looks like a softcore porn.
That chick's from Twin Peaks.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's like her biggest role, I think. I don't know what she did after that.
Well, when was Twin Peaks?
Yeah, about the 80s. Like, when she was famous.
Maybe she did this. Maybe this ruined it.
Oh, wow. Like, he's got like kind of a almost mullet. no shirt, and he's at the like swing around thing.
He is insanely ripped. He's got this almost like Patrick Swayze sort of look to him.
He does the fake tan thing. Oh, and there's a nipple. That you don't see that in a trailer often.
If you see a boob in the trailer, you know it's going to be a good movie.
I see why you say this is just softcore porn. Now, we just saw her coming out of a pool in a swimsuit and him looking at her. I'm pretty sure she was wowed because she was in a pool and you'd never seen that before.
Basically seems like she's meant to marry this proper guy who's good for her. But then she meets sexy carny worker here who never wears a shirt.
I see.
And doesn't get a haircut.
And then she has a lot of sex in showers with him. And on roller skates. Wow, it's hard to make out and get it on in roller skates. That's dangerous. Now she's running out of her rich house to go to the carnival.
Yeah, it basically is like a porn.
Yeah. This is I think a carny, like this is the carny dream. If I just look and there's act
the
ratty
fire.
Enough,
I like that thing with the fire and him standing through it. Did one of the carnival rides blow up? Oh, some shirt ripping going on.
Well, I'm not quite sure what this scene is. This looks more like a music video. That was horrible.
It looks like not the type of movie that you would masturbate to, but one that would remind you to masturbate.
It's like, oh yeah, I masturbate. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, I'm not going to do it right now.
Not to her boobs, but I might go and look up some porn now.
Hey, that reminds me, when this is over, I'm going to look up actual porn. I just want to remind everyone, we're actually doing Carnies, the Wikipedia page. We're not doing crappy movie reviews. That seems to be all there is right now.
I think Carnies, the Wikipedia page, is about a bunch of crappy movies.
Which, if you want to make a B-grade movie, or if you want to guarantee your movie never makes it to the big stage, just put the word Carnie in it, or in the blurb, just reference Carnies. Even if there's no Carnies in it, and people go, yeah, well, that's a B-grade. Put it with the softcore porn. You know, that in-between period where, you know, if people want porn, they go to porn. If people want a movie, they go to the movies. But if you want, well, let's face it, no one wants it. If you're like softcore porn carny, you're in the middle. You're in that gray zone that no one gives a crap about.
I think softcore porn is just porn for girls.
Is it? Or is it because when you look at it, there's no cock. Softcore porn basically means no one gets their schlong out, which I assume that's what women want to see. Actually, like, I'm going to make a confession and I'm pretty sure you're with me. As a male, I have no idea what women want to see. The rules change constantly. They won't tell us.
But they all seem to be aware when the rules change.
Yeah, they get it like some sort of, I don't know, radio transmission to each other. Oh yeah, that's hot now. Channing Tatum. No, he was. Well, honestly, I think it's women. If they told us what they were attracted to, we'd figure out that we are in no way or could ever be attractive. And then we'd wonder why they're with us. It's them trying to protect our feelings from, look, I settled. I'm aware what hot is and I know I can't get it. So, you know, you seem to not hit me and you turn up every time I cook dinner, so...
I don't want to tell you what's sexy because it's not you.
Exactly. Well, I'd be sexy for you. Well, that's the thing. You can't be. It's not your fault. But you're very reliable and you're usually punctual. And that's pretty much all I feel. Like, they say women need higher self-esteem. That's the only reason we have women at the moment is because their self-esteem is so low. They're aware that we're as good as it gets for them. I mean, oh, look at all these beautiful women. I could never be as beautiful as them. Well, that's probably why that exists. So they know that who the hot guys are getting. Well, that's why I can't get the hot guy.
Have you seen the 1980 movie Carnie with Jodie Foster and Gary Busey?
Is that the one where she's raped or something?
I think so. I haven't seen it.
And then, oh, you haven't. I don't know if it's called Carnie, but there was one at the carnival where I'm pretty sure it was Jodie Foster, goes on a killing rampage of carnies, I imagine.
I think so. Well, let's have a look. Gary Busey as a carnie, which if you're going to cast a carnie,
I think we found the perfect carnie, Gary Busey.
There he is there.
That was him?
Yeah. In all the makeup being crazy.
Wow, just up like a clown. Which Gary Busey with clown makeup on, not that different, surprisingly.
I think they just put Gary Busey in a cage there and he didn't even know they were filming at the time. That's just what happens.
What a coincidence, he had makeup on. Yeah, I was just doing that today. That's my Gary Busey laugh.
It's not even important that his character wears makeup. It even detracts from the character. He just insisted on it and there's nothing we can do about it. Because Gary Busey's crazy.
I can't believe this is the 80s. Okay, and now it's a strip club.
It's weird seeing Jodie Foster as very young.
Yeah, well, she was in Taxi Driver.
Yeah, she was really young in that.
Well, yeah, she was like 12 or something. This has gone a long way from carny. It started off as a carny thing. What is it with Jodie Foster and pedophilia? She's like the poster child, or was. Now she's like 40 or 50.
Yeah, she looked like the type of girl whose childhood you wanted to ruin.
She gave off a vibe like, you know, that's long gone. No, I'm ready. Which is a horrible thing. It's a disgusting thing.
She is in a lot of movies that are basically about how horrible men are.
Yes, she does portray the victim very well. In the movies, she puts herself in a position which, like, is really horrible. And then we look at how horrible men are.
Because isn't she a lesbian?
I'm pretty sure. If not, she should be.
Yeah, after John Hinckley goes and shoots a president for her, she's just like, oh, fuck this.
Clearly, my heterosexuality is not causing any goodness in this world.
Did you hear they released John Hinckley?
Really?
Recently?
Wow, he got out.
Yeah, they wanted to release John Hinckley just in case Donald Trump gets released.
That'll keep him in check.
Just knowing that he's there. Just anyone who is known for killing a president is now automatically released.
John Wilkes Booth, walking free now.
They're working on plans to resurrect him. After they get him resurrected, they're going to give Donald Trump free tickets to go see any theater show he wants.
Oh, who was the guy who killed Kennedy?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, they're going to get him resurrected, and then we're going to get Trump down to Dallas in a convertible. Has any country had that many assassinations of presidents? Now that we're mentioning it, that, like, a lot of presidents have been shot in America. They know how democracy works. It's nice.
That would make, like, an awesome TV show about all the assassins of the presidents.
Like, have to live in a share house?
Yeah. And they're working on their new assassination attempt for Donald Trump.
Lee Harvey Oswald, how many times do I have to tell you, if you finish the milk, you got to replace it. John Wilkes Booth, put the toilet seat down when you're finished.
They've got a shout out to Austin Powers.
Excellent.
Because there are two things that Austin Powers fears. Nuclear war and carnies.
Carnies?
Small hands.
Which is a great quote. Small hands. Busy fingers.
That was a good movie, a pretty good second movie, and a not great third movie.
Yeah, it was just Mike Myers doing his thing until they let other people do their thing and they went... I'm pretty sure the third one was just a, look, we've established, everyone's going to go see this. And we want a paycheck and then we can retire. We don't have to worry after this. It'll be great.
That's it. I really wanted an Austin Powers 4 until I saw Austin Powers 3.
I think they've done everything. All right, you picked on the Dutch now. All right, cool. Tick, you're done. They're going to have to make more spy movies for you to make fun of any of them. We've had Michael Caine in it. What more can we do?
He was good in it, though. It was a terrible movie, but he was good in it.
He did a great job. But I like that Austin Powers is a shout-out on the Carney page when he mentions Carneys once.
One joke.
One joke, and it's, boom, popular culture.
Well, what about the movie below it, Where the Millers? Have you seen that one?
Where the Millers. It sounds familiar. It sounds like a really shitty movie.
It came out only a 13. Couple of years ago. This one?
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailers. Yeah.
Because I think they're pretending to be...
like normal, but really they're assassins or something, is it? Oh, no, they're in the mafia.
Just selling drugs or trafficking drugs or some lame comedy plot.
What's that got to do with carnies?
Well, apparently there's a scene where they meet a carny called Scotty P.
Played once again, no full name.
Played by Markel Young, who doesn't even have a picture on his Wikipedia page, so what? How important can he be?
His career bar was like three lines. So if you're out
who
there and you're
at
casting...
the Monkey Maze.
Who works at the Monkey Maze at a local fair. See, they call it a fair.
However, he doesn't know the meaning of the word, and when asked if he's a carny, he responds, I drive a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because he doesn't drive a car. Are you a carry? No, I drive a motorcycle. That's good. That's very good. Once again, how small, like, carny, everyone knows what a carny is, and everyone can give you an accurate description of a carny, and everyone can tell you all the little bits and bobs about carnies, but that's what, like, five crappy movies.
And towards the end, it's just like, here's two jokes that they made.
And it's never complimentary, is it?
It's literally, they can say the dialogue that has to refer to it in the whole movie. So you don't have to watch the movie. It's like, no, this is the line.
This is the line. He fears two things, this and this. Oh, yeah. Okay, he said carny. That counts.
Because the carny thing doesn't really come up again in Austin Powers. Or does someone have small hands later in the movie?
No.
No,
he doesn't.
It's just the joke.
And it wasn't even a joke about carnies. The topic was nuclear war. And they're not complimentary, are they? Oh, they steal from you and they have small hands, which is why I assume he doesn't like carnies. And, oh, they're stupid because they don't even understand what carny means. It's not like, you know, carnies. Oh, you know, they work hard. They're industrious. You know, they're very tough. They can survive in almost any environment. They can live off really bad food quite well. They have experienced a lot of life.
You make the carnies sound like they're a bacteria. Like, you know, the tardigrade things, the water bears? They can live in any environment. They can live in the vacuum of space, freezing cold. They come back alive.
Even when I'm complimenting them, it's not a compliment. It's, yeah, no. They're like tartar. And toothpaste does kill carnies, I'm told. Their one weakness, fluoride. That's why they have so few teeth. Then we go to television. Let's be honest. This is where we both know everything we know about carnies. The Simpsons.
Which has its own Wikipedia page.
I'll bet it does. I'm pretty sure. I'd imagine that every Simpsons episode has a Wikipedia page. And I can't wait to do those. Because we won't even need to look at the page. We can just, I think it'll just be us reciting verbatim the entire episode.
Yeah, so we are eventually going to have to go through every single Simpsons episode. If every single one is
a Wikipedia page. Which, you know, I'm going to be honest. That's why I signed up to this.
Just to get those done.
When you said Wikipedia pages, I'm like, yeah, I know The Simpsons.
I'm less looking forward to when we got to do every episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, that's gonna be a tough week. How long did that show go for? Like 5 episodes?
I think it was like 22 seasons.
Ah, crap. And in this episode, yeah, he was in love with her and they had to do an operation. And, you know, the same thing that happened in the last episode. Never seen it. I'm pretty sure that's a perfectly accurate description.
We'll span it out. Like, one in every 200,000 pages we do, we'll just throw in a Grey's Anatomy one.
Yeah, we'll space those out. Because it's not just for us, it's also for anyone listening.
Yeah, because people need to know about those pages.
Hey, who knows? Grey's Anatomy Wikipedia, like, I may not like Grey's Anatomy, but the page itself might be amazing. And you might be missing out. So when they're bad, guys, bear with us. We're just as frustrated as you. We're all going to grit our teeth and get through this. It's like when you're drunk and desperate and there's only that kind of gross-looking girl left in the bar. No one's happy about it. She's not even into you, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do? Not have sex, right? Just grit your teeth, think of the queen, and go for gold. I don't know why you think of the queen.
But back to a better show, The Simpsons. Which, yeah, they had the Bart Carney episode, which, for those who it hasn't instantly sprung to your mind what episode it is, it's the one where Bart and Homer go to a carnival. Bart destroys Hitler's car.
A famous, yeah, like Mark car. That's awesome.
And to work off his debt, he has to work at the carnival. And him and Homer work at the carnival together, operating a ring toss game, which is owned by two other carnival workers, Spud and Cooter. And Cooter is voiced by Jim Varney, the voice of Ernest.
Ernest, which
you only recently learned.
Yeah, 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 which is awesome. Like, Ernest, like, I grew up on Ernest, man. He went everywhere. Anywhere he went somewhere, that's a movie. I appreciate that. I appreciate the humor.
I watched, not long ago, that Ernest Goes to School. The little girl in it, who's one of the kids who's hangs out with him all the time, grew up to be the girl from Scrubs.
What, the main blonde chick?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was on Roseanne as well.
Yeah, I knew that as well. I saw her. She was, what was it, Rebecca or?
She was replacement Becky.
But only for a little bit, and then Becky turned back to who she used to be.
Which, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went on, but she's had quite the career, hasn't she?
Yeah, she hasn't done badly.
She was a child actress. Not so well anymore. I don't know what she's been in since, but maybe she's made so much money she doesn't have to work.
Anyway, they're running the ring toss game while Spud and Cooter are out somewhere, but Chief Wiggum closes it down because it's crooked.
And he doesn't get a bribe.
And he doesn't get a bribe. They just don't seem to find the opportunity to bribe him. Yep. So Spud and Cooter...
Which is a great scene, by the way. Although every scene in The Simpsons is a great scene. That was a great one.
Spud and Cooter go to live with them and crazy hijinks ensue.
Yep,
and
they lock him out, claim squatter's rights, and then Carney's living in a house. That's gold right there.
Watch the episode. It's one of the... It is actually one of the great episodes.
It's a great one. It does have a lot of the lingo where Bart says, come on, Dad, get on the trolley. Look at these pigeons. Hey, Hot Pockets, win something for your girlfriend. Hot Pockets, another great one, because that sounds like you're cool, but actually I think it just means you're burning a hole in your pocket. Like, you spend a lot of money.
If you are trying to find it, though, it is the 8th episode in season 5. Bart Carney. Yeah, that is in the good run of The Simpsons.
I don't think there's a Simpsons I don't like. There's something in all of them for me.
I think, like, the first 9 seasons.
They were going, yep.
Yeah, it was different in the old days.
Back when things were real.
You can see, yeah, there was a turn around season 9 or 10 where it sort of turned to a different show.
It kind of, like, it had to. If you look at The Simpsons, like, they've done everything. The challenge for The Simpsons now, which, I think, are they over? Have they finished? That's sad.
No, they're still going.
Oh, they are?
I think that show will be going forever.
No, they're talking about, because you realize, like, all the people who do the voices are, like, getting really old now. I think they all want to retire. They're They're all kind of done, and like they've lost a few voices, and they've had to work around that. I think the greatest loss was Phil Hartman, which was never brought up, but he played
Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz,
two of the greatest characters. Lionel Hutz was the greatest, and Phil Hartman, to me,
they still use Lionel Hutz though, don't they?
Do they have a different guy using Lionel Hutz? I think they do. Have they just skillfully worked around it?
Because this is the thing where Simpsons can go forever, because let's say the guy Dan Castellaneta who does Homer, he just dies, and you say, okay, we're doing auditions for Homer tomorrow. How many people are spot on? Every voice actor cut their teeth practicing The Simpsons.
That is the dream job, and you would have your pick of all voice actors everywhere. I would have a go. I don't think I'm good enough at it. I don't think, hi, I'm Homer. See, I sound more like Barney. But I'd still be there. Like, guys, if you need me, I will pay you.
It's kind of like when with the Warner Brothers characters like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and stuff, as those people who did the voices originally died, they had no problem filling those spots because they had heaps of people who sounded spot on.
I have heard The Simpsons are wrapping up, which maybe it's just a vicious rumor.
I've heard that ever since I was in primary school though.
That's true.
They've said this will be the last season of The Simpsons, and it ran for like another decade after that.
It's the John Farnham of TV shows.
Exactly. It's not going anywhere.
Last ever tour.
Why are they going to stop it though? Are they tired of money?
I think it's literally that even though they have the best writing team in cartoons, like it's the most forged, like long running, like what have they not done? They literally have done every Star Trek episode, every Twilight episode. They've been everywhere. If you crossed off on a map every country they've been to, you're left with what? Paraguay?
I do like their Australia episode.
It's always fun to see what other countries like sum Australia up as. It's always way more accurate than what we would do.
I saw Saturday Night Live did a sketch that was about Australia where people had these like bad Australian accents and they're all drinking Fosters, and like someone's dying goes, what's your last words? Oh, I don't know, kangaroo. And you're looking, it's just these horrible stereotypes, but it's hysterical.
I think it's fair because every Australian who goes overseas, that's what you sound like. Oh yeah, mate, yeah, just buggering a few kangaroos. Oh, crikey.
I think I get more Australian when I'm overseas.
I think that's when you're the most. And then when you meet another Australian, you get so much more Australian. You're there just like, it's like an Australian off. Oh yeah, mate, yeah, mate, yeah, mate, oh man, mate, yep, oh, cattle, mate, fucking cattle, yeah, I was out the bush, mate, out the bush.
Tell these guys about the drop bears.
Oh, the drop bears, mate. Got to watch out for them. Yeah, mate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at fucking Australian.
I love when somebody overseas, you're over there and they're talking about dangerous creatures that they have. And you're just like, oh, that's adorable. I'm from Australia. Everything tries to kill you in Australia.
I love that because we start off like bragging about it until it becomes, well, you live in a really horrible place, don't you? Why would you live there? Oh, because I'm tough, mate. Because, well, we don't have anything like that. We have green grass and badgers. Squirrels, nice things. You have like bandicoots, snakes, and killer things, and crocodiles, and yeah, even like American alligators. Like, they make a big deal about alligators, but they're really small, most of them. You seen American alligators?
Yeah, crocodiles seem way more vicious than alligators. You can get pretty big alligators.
Yeah.
But crocodiles, I think, are more aggressive and ferocious.
Yeah, they're a bit. But that's, once again, that's what we get. Whereas Americans, they commercialize it. There's a lot of, you know, like, you know, horror story kind of. It's hard to tell, but anytime I've seen live alligators, they look like baby crocodiles.
But that might just be a baby alligator.
That's true. But maybe that's just because, you know, we're Australian. You know, we're used to some big things over here. You know, things will, you know, rip your leg off. I had to suck the poison out with my other stump, you know.
See, when I was in America, we did see, it was a little putt-putt golf place, and they had a little pond there that had little baby alligators and turtles in there.
Like live ones?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they're both swimming around together, and we're sort of watching it going like, seriously? The alligators don't just fuck up the turtles?
I'm sure the turtles are way more dangerous to the alligators.
You wouldn't want to drop your phone in there because it's gone.
Yeah, that's goodbye. You know what? You can have it. If they have baby alligators, what happens to them when they reach a certain age?
Like, nah.
I don't want to know. Just flush them down the toilet or something.
But that's the thing, because we're in Orlando at the time, and there'd be some places where you could drive by and see alligators just
chilling
on the side of the highway sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
If there was like, yeah, a little river or creek or something running along the side. Saw a couple of alligators as we drove by, and I was like, oh, okay,
that's cool.
Because that's the thing, in Australia crocodiles are more aggressive, but we separate our society from them.
I do find that the crocodile, it's a very intelligent animal. When I was up in the Northern Territory, I was out in Arnhem Land, like the Aboriginal land, and they took us to like a special site, and like there are crocodiles in every river there, and they're like, oh, there's a crocodile in that river. And I looked over and it looked like a stump in the middle of, like, we're a long way away, it looked like a stump, and then it just disappeared. The second I looked at it, it was already looking at me. I was like hundreds of meters away, and I could barely barely make it out. It knew what was going on. That's a smart animal. Whereas the alligators in America just kind of lazing around like, yeah, they all know we're here. I'm not going to try and be crafty. Crocodiles, they're not just big and ferocious. They're scary. Like, you go to the same place at a river or twice in 2 days, it'll be there the third day to eat you.
Learns your patterns.
Crocodiles are very crafty, and we do think of them as bigger, but I guess there are big alligators. It's hard to say, but we do have, like, more poisonous snakes.
Let's have a look at this then, because I got a computer in front of me, so we'll go world's biggest.
Alligator. Double L. Alligator. Alligators, there we go.
Bang. Okay. So give us, like...
Largest is measured 15 feet. Jesus, that's...
15 feet, so that's not that small.
No, that's quite sizable. Now let's go biggest crocodile. So 15 feet, 9 inches, and weighed 1,000 pounds.
Biggest crocodile
is 20 feet.
20 feet, crocodiles win.
Woo! Yeah, it's way scarier to live in our country.
That's our country's the biggest death trap.
We win.
And that's what I love about it. We get in competition with people like, nah, crocodiles are bigger. They're way more dangerous. Yeah, it's scary. Congratulations, you live in the worst of place. You know, some people live in England where there's neither.
Yeah, but they have knives over there.
Yeah, they get very stabby in England.
They got pikeys and we got showies.
Because they don't like criminals using guns over there. They're like hardened down on anyone who uses guns. You make it to number one on the top list. So everyone just started using knives instead. And it's just like, well, that's kind of bad too. Worse.
That's your statistical analysis where they always say in America, you know, so many people die from guns every year. And only like 14 people die from guns in England. But then you look at the stab rates. Like, oh, England's back up there. And glassings.
We would have the most glassings.
Australia or England, if I had to guess.
I think we might have less now because we have stricter rules on it.
Well, yeah, we have a lot more plastic cups. In other words, because Australian law is basically designed... Because let's be honest, Australia was founded by convicts. And so straight away, the government was founded under the ideal that Australians can't be trusted. We can't. And we know it. It's like electing a warden. You know, like,
just to make sure we all follow the rules.
Yeah, like, look, we're all going to break the rules a little bit. But, you know, we've got really crazy people here, and if you could keep them under control, that'd be sweet, dude. But, you know, we all have to be told what to do and keep in line. So, like, we do have gun laws here. Like, a lot less people get shot here than other countries, but that's mainly because we don't have semi-automatics. When you do shoot someone, it lowers your death count.
That's the thing. Passing the gun laws in Australia seem to go over relatively easily.
Well, I'm a farm boy. I grew up in a very redneck environment, and I had a semi-automatic when they banned the semi-automatics. I was 10. I cried. How could the government do this? I don't know why I had that accent. Why did the government take my gun away? Because some guy in Tasmania, and this is where Australia is kind of divided, I think, you know, between the country and everyone else. Everyone else is like, well, why do we have guns? That's, you know, we live in Queensland where people are hot, they're tempered, they're irrational. We really shouldn't be armed.
I mean, there were a few people, I guess yourself, who didn't like the law being passed, but most of Australia tended to take to it very easily.
You know, the more we do this, the more I realize how unaverage my I've got some odd beliefs that apparently no one else shares. I bet the people from the country agree with me. You try shooting a pig with a fucking bolt action.
See, America, they're a little more hardcore, though.
But that's because they had it in their constitution to begin with, which, I don't know if this is offensive or not, but they tend to treat the Declaration of Independence as, like, the Bible. Like, it was written by some old guys so long ago. Like, I think for them it was, like, 200 years ago.
But isn't the thing, because they say, because carrying guns, is it the Second Amendment or the Third Amendment?
First Amendment is speech. I think it's the fifth. No, second or fifth. It's an amendment.
But that's the thing, is it's an amendment, which means that it wasn't there originally. It was amended.
Someone wrote that in later.
So it's like, you can't change it. It was changed to that. You can change it.
All right, here's our declaration. We're all free now. We're independent. Hey, can we all have guns? Sure, why not?
I'll just put it on here. I'll just amend that.
I'll just write it in between the freedom and the independence and screw England.
But that's the thing that they say to Americans, like, okay, you have all this gun violence, we're gonna take your guns. And they're like, no, okay, we'll just take the big guns. No, okay, we'll just give you free healthcare. No.
what do you
want us to do about this?
We told you, we want you to stop people getting shot. We need body armor widely distributed. Why don't you give us that? I understand that the argument, the problem isn't less guns, it's more guns. If everyone is armed all the time, there will be less gun violence because the people who cause gun violence will be quickly shot.
Well, that's the thing, no one has has ever committed an armed robbery on a gun range.
That's true. It's, you don't really point a gun at someone who's holding a gun and go, I'm going to steal your stuff. One gun beats no gun. Two guns beats one gun. But if you have a bigger gun, that does, for some reason, beat smaller gun. When, if either of them shoots the either one, they're both going to die. But you go, well, he's got a bigger gun.
My dad occasionally goes shooting and I go down with him. And I went down and he didn't lock his car. And I'm like, are you going to lock that? And he's like, what kind of idiot breaks into a car at a gun range? It's like we can all see him from where we're shooting. He said if someone comes in and starts breaking into cars, we all turn around because the target's the other way now.
And that's just it. You don't even have to keep an eye on it. There will be people more than happy to look after your car for you.
Exactly.
Who are probably better shots.
Time to put that practice into action.
Hey, you see, this wasn't for nothing.
Which I do remember thinking when I was at the gun range, okay, if there is any time in my life that the zombie apocalypse is going to happen, now.
This would be a really appropriate time for it to happen.
I've got heaps of bullets. I'm armed to the teeth.
I got my iron now. I've had some practice.
I don't usually have a gun on me, but right now I'm holding one.
This is all right.
So if a bunch of zombies came over that hill, right now I'm fine.
So what else have they got in television? You've got Heroes. Did you ever watch Heroes?
Was that like X-Men?
Kind? No, that was...
like superheroes, wasn't it? They all had powers. I never saw it.
It was basically trying to do, yeah, like a TV drama about superheroes. It was pretty much X-Men. Like an origin story of an X-Men.
It's like GoBots to Transformers?
Pretty much. It was one of those things. Do you ever hear the thing, save the cheerleader, save the world? That was a reference to that.
Really? I thought that was a porn thing.
No, because it had Hayden Panettiere or something like that. She's quite famous now. She was the cheerleader in it. I think it was something. It had a good couple of seasons and then it just went downhill very quick.
Then we had the HBO series Carnival, centered around a traveling carnival in the American Southwest during the 1930s. That's an actual TV show about carnies, but they called it Carnival.
I saw a trailer for it. It seems a bit slow.
It's HBO kind of makes me feel like it's just softcore porn. Oh, there's a midget.
There's got to be a midget in every carnival movie or TV show. I think you've got to see a midget somewhere.
I just got to say, like, I think they should be in more places. Like, I love little people. Like, don't they just make you happy? Everything about them's funny. You know, they walk kind of cool. They talk kind of cool. I love it. I think that the world would be a better place if, like, shouldn't newsreaders be little people? And I say little people, like, because midget is the common term. Apparently that's not right. You're supposed to say little person, which I don't see why that's better.
I always think with newsreaders, they should be just in their underwear. They should only be dressed from the chest up. That makes me laugh, the idea that under that desk, they got, like, no shoes on, they're just in their underwear, they've just put the shirt on nice, the tie and the jacket.
I like that. Yeah, if they had to stand up quickly, suddenly you'd see boxer shorts or something.
That's how I would read the news.
I think that would be a much better way to read the news and everyone would be okay, especially if you have like a desk with no front. You just get like a pan out at the end where you just see these feet.
I mean, I'm under the assumption that if I was doing a podcast solo, I would probably be naked while doing it.
As you know, even though it's a duo, this is how I roll, dude. I'm sorry about that stain on the couch. I'm sorry. I do believe I'm funnier with my wang out.
At least people laugh more.
It's true. This is how I get you to laugh.
So yeah, this just seems like some weird dramatic series. Midget keeps popping up every now and then.
Yeah, it seems very serious.
Yeah, very 1930s.
Which make it fun. It's supposed to be a carnival.
There's an explosion.
Oh, yay. Not very, yeah. Explosions, a lot of meaningful looks and screams and...
oh, someone's been murdered. And a midget with a gun. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Why is it no matter what a midget does, it's entertaining and amazing? Look, he's got a gun! Everyone else had a gun, but you see a little person with a gun, it's like, we got to check that out again.
I like how the guy's on his knees in front of him and he's got the gun pushed right up against his head.
If he was standing up, the little guy would have to get up on a table.
You get down to me, I'm not getting up to you. Seems like a lot of people die in this show.
Yeah, what is it with carnies and the association with death? I don't think there's any basis for that other than just the world has decided as one that carnies are to do with like death.
Well, I think it's just the mystery. Like I said, if you keep something mystery about you, people just assume that the mystery you keep is homicidal rage.
That must be it, because that's what I'm keeping and that's what I assume everyone else must be keeping, but you have a much better alibi. Like, I couldn't get away with it.
Well, that's the thing. If your secret was a good thing, you'd just tell people.
It wouldn't be a secret. People tend to let good things get out somehow. Yeah. Oh, you know, I don't want to tell people people, I donate to charity. But that's the sentence you will say.
If you don't like people talking about your penis, you have a small penis.
Exactly. That's why I just talked about my wang.
If it's like you've got a big one and people like talking about your how big your cock is, you're kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. When people, if people like make fun of you saying, oh, I bet he's got a small dick, you're like, oh yeah, shut up. But if people are like, yeah, he's got a huge wang, you just smile. Yeah, girls. And I think that falls for carnies. Like if everyone was telling carnies like, oh, you must kill people. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, I wouldn't tell them no. I'd let that ride. That you never know what you can get out of that situation. I've done it before.
Adds to the mystery.
A little bit of intimidation. Yeah, you're not going to argue that their game's crooked when you're pretty sure they're going
to
stab you.
Plus, you assume that the carnival folk like to tell fun stories and not let the truth get in the way of a good yarn.
Well, I imagine they'd have good stories. I'd like to hear about them stabbing people. That's fun. Whether it happened or not, it's another story.
Who's Patrick Jane?
The Mentalist.
The Mentalist. That dude.
Simon Baker as Patrick Jane.
Oh, okay. The character was raised by carnies in The Mentalist. Because I thought it was saying that the actor was raised by carnies.
But no, the character.
The character.
Once again, that's another really, like, he was raised by carnies. That's just a backstory. They've just, oh yeah, he's from some wild, untamed, oh, carnies. Raised as a carny. Which kind of like, it's like being raised as by wolves. He had a tough childhood. He could have had a great life. He was raised as a carny. Oh, the poor guy. It's so great that he became The Mentalist, you know? You got to go through hard things to come out with a great ability like that.
Do you reckon you could do a childhood in a carnival? I think it'd be fun.
It'd be kind of fun, you know? You get to learn how to...
I loved aquadogs or hot dogs on a stick or whatever the hell they're called everywhere else.
Pluto pups.
Pups. Are they corn dogs?
I think so. I call them battered wieners, but that wouldn't catch on.
Battered wieners.
Get that battered wiener in your mouth.
Take it as deep as you can. They are kind of phallic.
So there's a lot of food, but that's just because guys think about dicks all day.
The thing that we all won't admit is that the shape of a dick is the easiest thing to get in your mouth and the most convenient.
Women's mouths too. Which we point out all the time.
Look how easily it slots in.
See, it's like it's meant to. It's meant to fit in crevice. That's what it's designed for specifically. Any holes a goal? No, I was talking to my girlfriend about doodling and drawing things, and she was drawing in a drawing class, and she looked over and some guy's drawing something and it was a dick. And she came home like, oh my god, like, why was he drawing a dick? I'm like, yeah, guys draw dicks, that's what we do. She was shocked, like, why? I'm like, because it's hilarious. I mean, one of the greatest things to do in high school is to draw a dick on someone else. Because, and I'm telling her this, like, yeah, you draw a dick, then he has to walk around with a dick on him. And it was like, look everyone, he's got a dick on his arm. I put a dick on your arm, sucked in. She's like, you thought of drawing a dick while touching another guy and he's gay?
Yeah! That's how it works.
That's how being a man works. You make him accidentally touch your genitalia and that makes him gay.
Yeah, you just like draw a little picture of a person or something like that, and then after you're done, you just put like a huge throbbing cock with jizz bubbles coming out again.
The trick I always did was you go, I'm going to read your fortune, and you draw a circle, like an odd shaped circle, kind of almost heart shaped, around like a freckle or something on their arm. And you go, see, this is your, you make up some story. This is your life. This means you're going to have good money. And then you put two circles like further down, but side by side. And then, you know, making up a story why those circles are there. You know, this is about how long you're going to live. This is about, you know, what kind of car you're going to drive. And then, but you see the life force flows from one to the other. Then you draw two lines. And then when you're done, you've got a full set of balls and dick on their arm. That's, and it's a surprise.
Awesome trick.
That's the trick. All you have to do, let you draw on them. And then you've got a dick on them. Then they have to walk around with that dick.
That's classic. I got to try that.
Have a go. But once again, that sums up men to a T. I could draw anything. When you draw, I'm gonna draw a dick.
That's it. When you see a bunch of graffiti anywhere, there's always a dick in there.
There's gotta be a dick. Not so much vagina. It's not necessarily as recognizable, mainly due to its mystery. But also it could be, what is that, a canoe? What are they drawing?
Well, that's like, basically if you were drawing a vagina, wouldn't you just draw like a slit?
Kind of. What is that? Is that the Jap's eye of the penis? I bet that's a different, that's a dick from a different angle.
They also have fairly odd parents. Did you ever see that show? It was a kid's show, a cartoon with these guys.
No, I never saw that.
It was basically just like a Nickelodeon kid's show. It was kind of funny.
And they had an episode with carnies, or?
They were carnies. No, they had an episode with carnies because it says in the episode, the grass is greener. Mm. Timmy Turner, who was the main character in it, who was the kid who had the fairly odd parents. They're kind of like fairy godparents. They grant him wishes. He's got his real parents, but these guys just appear to him in their magic and they can grant wishes.
Okay, that's a good Nickelodeon plot.
Yeah, it was a good kids show plot. Timmy Turner feels unwanted at home and decides to run away to a carnival where he meets several carnies and quickly outperforms them. Well, he has access to magic, so.
That does make it easier. And how rude. That's their livelihood. This does bring up another thing, though. Running away to join the circus. That's a common thing. No one ever says, I'm going to run away and join the carnival. Run away and join the circus. That sounds fun. They're essentially the same thing. One just has rides. One has more animals.
Well, I wouldn't think that there'd be tigers at a carnival, but I think that there'd be tigers at a circus.
Just as many alcoholics in both.
Tigers or lions?
Bears, oh my. But that's, yeah, there can be at a carnival, but they're both traveling. Circus folk are kind of carnies, but you have a completely different outlook on it. Like, the whole thing's a show, whereas a carnival, the whole thing's a ruse. It's one big scam, whereas the circus is one big illusion. Like, I still think about running away to join the circus, I'll be honest. I couldn't juggle a tightrope, but, you know, I could be, like, one of the crappy clowns. I could be, like, number 5 who comes out of the small car out of 10. I could be the middleman.
Oh, I'd be cramped in one of those cars.
Yeah.
Because even though they do all fit in, I bet there's not a lot of room in there. I think, yeah, you've got to be really comfortable with the person who's close to you's body odor.
There's two people in that car that you have to be very okay with. Someone you trust to be behind you and someone you're okay being in front of you.
Yeah, you want somebody behind you who's okay with it but doesn't enjoy it too much.
You don't want someone who's behind you like, oh yeah, come on baby, get in here. You want someone who's like, all right, let's just get through this. But then the person in front of you, you could be like, man, all right, yeah, back up baby. And they're like, this guy's creepy.
You can imagine, like, it's such a tight squeeze that they're just going like, oi Jimmy, think of baseball or we're not all gonna fit in.
There's not that much room in here. You don't take up that much room with it, but there's not a lot of room to start. It's not a compliment on you. It's a comment on how tight the situation is. That better be a finger. We're onto books now.
I know, we got music. Which do any of these stand out to you?
Well, let me just say,
Carney, which is a band from Austin, Texas.
Psychedelic blues band. So basically they do acid and heroin. Music, we don't need, there's like 4 points there, but we all know Carney.
Isn't that circus?
That's more.
No, I think circus is that.
No, you are right, because that was Circus Maximus, wasn't it? Well, the Circus Maximus is the Roman chariot races, which is hilarious to think about. Like, that was actually the music played when they're doing a dangerous chariot race. Like, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The song is actually called Entrance of the Gladiators, which is a very odd name, because when you hear that, you're like, that's called the circus thing, and now it's called Entrance of the Gladiators. And you can't picture people with, like, swords and shields and, like, chariots coming in and going like,
Maybe Romans had kind of a sense of, like, irony. You don't want to think of it as like, oh, these people are gonna die. You want to be like, oh, it's cute, look, it's like slapstick, look, he stabbed him. It's, I bet they had like the Three Stooges sound guys working at the gladiator events. Boing, wink, shut, cram it, knucklehead. Look, he's bleeding.
So you think to like some people that would be a terrifying song that symbolizes death?
It would.
Like, when you hear that song, you know you're about to go into the arena to die.
Exactly. That would haunt them for years. Someone resurrected an ancient Roman and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna go to the carnival or something, and then oh my god, you people are they'd be getting flashbacks.
Every time I hear that, I just picture like being chased by a lion.
Hail Caesar, no, thumbs up, don't kill me.
But do you see anything in music that catches your eye?
Well, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
I don't know who Nick Cave is and the Bad. Who are the Bad Seeds?
Okay, you don't know who Nick Cave is?
No.
Oh my god, sir, you live a very wonderful life. I'll explain it this way. There was a certain point in like the early 90s when if you wanted to get laid, you had to know who Nick Cave was. And you probably had to put up with his music because girls love Nick Cave.
Guess I didn't get laid in the 90s then.
Today's version would be Lana Del Rey. It's just music that chicks are into, and therefore we all have to put up with it. He sounds like heroin. I've never done heroin. Don't want anything to do with heroin. And Nick Cave is just another great example of why I wouldn't do heroin, because that's what he sounds like. He's kind of like the next level Iggy Pop. He's very precocious. He's I'm sure there's a lot of Nick Cave fans out there who just hate me right now for saying this. I'm just speaking the truth, okay? You know it's true.
Was he kind of like a bad boy?
Yes.
He's got his band like the Bad Seeds and his album Your Funeral
funeral?
My
trial.
He put a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, just add that pause in there. It's your funeral, my trial.
Yeah, that's right. I'm such a good musician. You're going to listen through the suspense for the rest of my album title. If heroin had a voice, it'd be Nick Cave. In fact, it does have a voice because he's strung out like anything on it.
How about Leon Russell? Ever heard of him?
No.
1972, he had an album called Carney.
Good for him.
And
Joni Mitchell. That sounds familiar. Is that a country singer? It looks like a country singer.
A country song about a carney. I bet that's right up my alley.
Well, I fell in love with a carney down at the carnival.
Well, country singers and carnies have the same amount of teeth. It's like they suffer from the same stereotype.
They do. No shoes.
Yes.
Okay, that was Suri. Someone trickled off Suri.
I'm guessing you said something because you just responded to my voice.
Well, that threw us off. What were we saying? Yeah.
Yeah, carnies and country music people, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they are pretty much the same.
Alcoholics missing toes.
Whose dog's dead.
Always sad about their dog. Dogs die. I mean, it's a sad thing, but they don't live as long as humans. That's bound to happen. They're sad like 10-year-old is when their dog dies. Like, we've all had a dog die. If you've had a dog, you've had a dog die. No need to write a song about it.
They do have here. It doesn't have a link to it on the page.
Carney comic.
Because it came up there. It like says
comic books kind of thing.
Because
like,
I've read down here in literature, in 2005, Brian Johnson and Walter Flanagan comic book series Carney follows the exploits of a murderous band of carnies who travel from town to town slaughtering residents with the intention of turning them into barbecue meat.
You know, I'm noticing a theme. I came to this website to check out cool, like, you know, like carnival rides, like, you know, entertainment and some cool slang. And all we've heard about is homicidal maniacs with no basis. As there ever been a carny killer?
Like, yeah, you can see the covers of it there. It's got...
It's just creepy carny folk.
It's just creepy carny folk. You like get some of the artwork.
Like, over creepy, not just like a regular carny person. Kill people to eat them. And that's how
and
you
turn
get
turn them
your...
into barbecue meat.
That's how you get Daywood dogs, man.
So I guess, yeah, I never eat barbecue meat at a carny. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, I wasn't planning to, but all right. That's fair enough.
I mean, you take your life into your own hands when you eat anything that you get at a carnival.
That's true. It's just made of sugar and byproducts. What else have we got? Theater. Which is kind of like that's the ultimate spit in the face for the carnival folk. Legitimate theater did things about carny folk.
I think of the other carnival games. Yeah, they have that on the Nintendo Wii. I remember that.
Yeah, you don't have to go to the carnival anymore. You can just throw darts at balloons in your own house on the Nintendo Wii.
It was basically just a bunch of mini games that involved you moving your controllers. Like, you can throw things in the Wii judging by like how you move your hand. And so, yeah, they would just have some of the common games that you could have.
Because they were trying to make it more a party game.
And you did have like this cheesy little cartoon carny that was the main character in it, the announcer that got you through.
Many carnivals are still used by professional wrestlers. Yeah. Still used, which I haven't watched professional wrestlers in a long time. I don't think I've ever heard one of them use the word mark when referring to like a pigeon or a rube. Usually they're talking about John Cena, you come out to this ring and I'm gonna crush you. I've got the ultimate biceps.
Yeah, I thought it was more redneck talk.
See, once again, this is going back to the country singers. It all kind of blazes over each other. It's just kind of lower economic status, I'd say. Like, you know,
because I guess it was rodeo talk, which rodeo and carnival, I guess they would have been basically the same thing.
Yeah, they're just as dangerous. It's traveling.
But it says that pro wrestling originated in carnivals in the 19th and 20th century, where wrestlers not wanting to face regular injury and wanted to make bouts more entertaining
would stage their fights, which, so yeah, it was like a mock battle, because wrestling, that's been around for a long time. They do it. There's a thing called catch wrestling, which I did. It's the funnest of all the grappling, because it's like pro wrestling but works. It's the fun side of all, like, the rest of grappling is like jujitsu, and it works, so it's really boring.
When did pro wrestling stop saying that it was real, like professional, like the or like, because they did used to claim they were real.
I love that there's still this thing. You go up to a pro wrestler and go, it's not real, they get really angry at you.
They now sort of take the thing going like, it's not real, like, but it's stunt work, it's a big heavy workout. Like, they always try and make it sound like it's really hard anyway. It's like, just because it's not real doesn't mean it's easy.
It's because it's theater. They don't want to admit that no, we're athletes. No, you're performers, which, hey, you know, ballet dancers are really fit. They're very coordinated. They have great balance. They're ripped. Ballet dancers, the male ones, the female ones, they're really strong. But you try try and compare to a pro wrestler that they're like a ballet dancer, they somehow get offended. Yeah, you're more like ballet dancers than you are like, you know, football players. How do you show you that murder?
It does actually make sense that like if you and I had to fight for entertainment, it probably wouldn't look that good and
no.
You and I would both get really hurt by the end of it. But if we just choreographed something beforehand, the fight would look a million times better
and we'd be
and
way
no
less
one
hurt.
Would get hurt.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you've ever like tried to research real fighting, it just looks like two guys trying to hug each other aggressively. That's most fights. Two guys trying to hug each other aggressively. Like, you know, Kung Fu doesn't look like Kung Fu like in the movies. Boxing does not work. Wrestling, all the wrestling moves that you see, it requires two people to cooperate for that to happen. And the things that actually work in a fight have nothing to do with what we associate with fighting. This is much more fun. And then you get to have a backstory.
You get your character.
Yeah, this is nothing like acting at all. Yeah, this is real. I was in Vietnam and I'm the Iron Sheik.
It's all good so long as your character yells.
And that's what it comes down to. There's never any calm wrestlers who are just like good at it.
That's because they don't always have the microphone.
They
need to make it so people can hear down the back.
That makes sense. But couldn't they just get like an actorial like projection? Why can't there be the wrestler, you know, and now I will attempt to wrestle. Like throw your voice out there, guys, instead of, oh, I'm gonna wrestle you. We're not comfortable with smart wrestlers, I guess. And yeah, with backstories, like they claimed it was real for so long, but these guys were born in the Amazon, raised by wolves, you know, they...
Well, I think the stories got more over the top when they started admitting it was fake.
Yeah, okay, so we're all comfortable this isn't real, you're still coming to the show? Alright, well, I come from out of space.
I would love to see a fake looking spaceship land in the middle and someone dressed as an alien get up and that's just their character.
Meanwhile, the Undertaker's in the other corner like, fuck you.
And not even go alien, just go Martian.
Martian specifically.
Like, don't even let that die. Like, you don't hear of Martians anymore. Like, not since we sent probes up there.
We're pretty sure nothing lives there and nothing could live there. No, I'm a Martian. I'm proof. That's how tough I am. You say it's unlivable. I lived there. Why are you here? To take over one wrestling match at a time.
Yeah, you have like this big fight at the end. It's like, if I beat you, I get to take over the world. And treat it like it's a real thing and all the governments are in on this deal.
Get the presidents involved. Our best wrestler. All right, well, we've got like... I don't even know any of the modern wrestlers. I'm just going to quote old people. Well, we have to use the Ultimate Warrior, clearly, because he is the Ultimate Warrior. No, what about Hulk Hogan? He was in Rocky 3.
They do have a quote here by Ron Bennington that I like.
I like his last name. It's almost like Remington.
Yeah, it's a mix between Ben.
That should be the name of our show.
That's our production title, Bennington.
Bennington Productions. Us Inktons need to look out for each other. Ron, you got my back. Anything you say, I haven't read this yet, but I'm with you.
All the world is just carnies and rubes. Pigeon walking down the midway, enjoying his cotton candy, waiting to lose his rent money on the midway. So are you a pigeon or are you a carny?
Oh, well, I'm with Ron. It's like saying that the whole world is kill or be killed, eat or be eaten, carny or rube. You're either scamming people or being scammed by people. It's basically a justification for being a prick. I've heard this before from people who are about to like commit a scam on anything. Look, either you're being scammed or you're gonna scam. Now go steal that lady's wallet.
That's why I eat cows, because if they had the chance, they would eat meat.
Don't be fooled. If a cow had a chance to take a bite out of you and everyone you ever loved.
I've seen the look in their eyes.
That docile, slow cud chewing look. Don't let the fact they just eat grass fool you. What are those horns for, huh?
I just realized this entire page has one picture on it.
That's very rare, and it's not a very good picture either.
Now what does it say? A carny and he's coconut shy. What the hell is a coconut shy? You get, okay, 3 balls for £1 or 7 for £2.
All right, so we know it's in England.
Okay, there's coconuts. I assume you're just going to throw balls at the coconuts and try and knock them off.
Try and knock some coconuts that have been glued to a stick.
Okay. No, I reckon they just waited. So they've probably got something heavy and really you get like a balls. Tennis ball or something. So you'd have to like throw it insanely hard.
I do like that he's in this little tiny tent with a cigarette. Come on in, folks. Why don't you come into my atmosphere? Money talks. Miss always says goodbye. Is that what it says?
A little beer money.
And every now and again, tust a little. It says tust a little.
Yeah, I don't know what most of that thing says. Yeah, it says tust. He tusted his sign maker way too much.
Well, maybe that's a word. Like, that's their thing, you know? You gotta tust a little. Tust means be scammed. Which, when we started looking at translation of what carny words mean, I just thought every word was gonna be for scam. Like, a tust is a scam. A rube is a scam. A pigeon is a scam.
It all just means take his money.
That's what they do. It's how they make their living.
Oh, Jubes are like, look at the tits on that girl we're scamming.
Wow, that girl had great tits when we scammed her. They're only jubes when you're stealing from them. Any other time, it's just breasts.
All right, so looking at the carny page, what do we reckon of it?
Well, it's short, concise, full of B-grade. It really does point out that carnies are the undersung heroes of the world. Well, hero might be a strong word. They're undersung.
They're not just the crazy homicidal maniacs we make them out to be.
Well, they're not just the stereotype we've put on them. Some of them have some teeth and don't kill anyone.
We assume that's most of them, too.
Mostly. Well, we can't prove it or disprove it, so we just choose to believe it.
Just ditch the mystery and then people stop thinking you kill people.
Just come out and tell people. We try to! We don't have a format. We don't have a town hall. We're nomadic.
I did notice on this page, though, there's a lot of citation needed. Like, they need a citation for the showy. Need a citation...
for insular terms.
It says that the carny movie, the one with Gary Busey and Jodie Foster, it has become a cult favorite. Citation needed. Like, so it could be a piece of shit. No one knows.
Someone said it was a cult favorite, but they're like, you need to check that fact.
Yeah, we watched the movie. We're still unsure.
We're yet to find this cult.
But you can watch that movie on YouTube. I watched the trailer. The next thing that plays is the whole movie.
That's where it is.
So you deliberately have to be wanting to watch the trailer over the whole movie to see the trailer.
You see the trailer, and if you're still on board, here's the movie. If you're still watching at the end of this trailer, chances are you're either not at your computer anymore.
Alright, so should I go with my rating first?
What did you think of this entertainment value? Which, I should point out, it's carnies. This should be pretty entertaining. Should be. What did you think?
I actually thought this was quite a good page. It did remind me of not only Austin Powers, but that Simpsons episode, and you know, basically all of the Simpsons by that. Which, and anything good that gives it, yeah, shout out to the Simpsons is always good. We had fun with the parlay and trying to guess what things mean, finding that most of them either refer to body parts, ripping people off, or gay people. And that's pretty much everything that they talk about. So as an overall rating, I would probably give this a 9 out of 13. Being quite a good page. I think it is probably one of the better pages that we have looked at so far.
That is right up there. The carnies should be quite honored by that rating. I know you, and I know how you feel about your 13 ratings, and that's wow.
Well, that's it. I also want to give a good rating to it, because I am positive we have offended many carnies in this.
We started, episode, continued, and finished by just being completely offensive under the visor of, well, what, none of them live near me.
So rather than not be offensive, I would rather just apologize after I'm offensive.
Yeah, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than gain permission. I have no plans to go to a carnival of any kind or any show, but you never know. The last thing I want is to do some stand-up at a carnival, and then I just walk into like a whole bunch of really pissed off people who really have nothing to lose. See, I can't stop doing it. I'm sure they got a sense of humor.
All right, what about you? What did you put as a rating for this page?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to give it 7 cherries out of a possible Jay-Z.
Out of a possible Jay-Z?
Yeah, 7 cherries out of a possible Jay-Z. That's quite up there. I think you were a lot kinder to it than I was. I do still think it was, for what it's containing, it's quite short, quite concise, but we learnt a lot. I did not know what parlay was. Parlery.
Parlery. We still don't even really know how to pronounce it.
Like, phonetically, that's parlery. I like that it's spelt a bunch of different ways because it's not actually a spelt word.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone in the history before Wikipedia ever had a reason to spell parlery, because I think it's not a written language. They don't have a written dialect.
When you see it written down, you realize that a lot of it doesn't make sense just the way, like, it's written. Yeah.
A lot of it is just accents. If you hear someone with that specific accent speak, it would make a lot more sense than us with our Australian accents trying to say these words. Like, jubes is probably sounds like boobs when you hear a Cockney say it. Jubs, yeah?
It's them trying to say jugs.
That's just how it comes out, because that's how they pronounce things. So yeah, it was very good. We learnt a lot about B-grade horror movies, which when you hear carny, you think B-grade horror movie. That's the pinnacle of the achievement of the carny folklore, is B-grade horror movie. I like that they've continued, despite being a performing people, they travel around, they meet a lot of people, they constantly show up every year and perform and put on bright lights, and they're still a mystery to us.
Even though they come every year?
They come every year. They put on big lights and they're, step right up, folks. They yell at us to come in. We still don't get... Maybe they just deep down want to have a deeper, meaningful relationship with people. And we're just like, nah, you're going to kill me. I don't don't trust you. You're way too inviting.
It's because they get associated with like a freak show.
There's not even anything about freak shows on this. It's...
No, it does kind of avoid talking about freaks.
Which I guess that's another one.
That's a different Wikipedia page, different episode.
That's going to be a fun one. Do little people get to be freaks anymore? Like, I think that they're beyond that now. Like, they're the guy who sells the tickets to the freak show.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that when that became politically correct, a bunch of midgets lost their job.
It's true, like dwarf tossing. That's, you don't call them, they're not all dwarves, but there was midgets, there were little people who were outraged and spoke out, you took away my living. I got thrown by people for a living, and it's illegal now. Ironically, people throwing, still perfectly legal. If you can pick them up, you can throw them. So
but
before
it can't
you...
specifically be a midget. What if you have people throwing and a midget just happens to sign up?
I think you have to be very careful before you throw someone to find out if they're a little person or not. Like, you know, if they're around 4 foot something, you gotta ask. Are you short or midget? I need to know, because I can pick you up and throw you a fair way. But yeah, no, a midget is generally selling the tickets to the freak show, so you get a little taste.
And he's technically outside. It's legal. All right, well...
I think it was quite entertaining. I think we're both very pleased.
We'll wrap it up for this episode.
I think we've done well. I've been Garth Remington.
I've been Ben Graw.
Thank you for listening.
See you next time.
Email us at wikireviewpodcast@gmail.com. Theme is I Live for the Bass Drum, provided by our buddy DJ Searle. All other music by Matt Graw.